the political dispute that threatens the National Association of Flight Instructors. Today, we get the perspective of Tom Poberesny. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. A few weeks ago, a group claiming to represent about 400 members of the National Association of Flight Instructors organized under the name TBO NAFI and set about pressuring NAFI to make some changes in its bylaws. Specifically, the group wants NAFI directors elected directly by the membership. NAFI has been affiliated with the Experimental Aircraft Association for more than a decade, and EAA President Tom Poberesny has attempted to intervene and mediate the dispute, which has threatened to create a new competing organization for flight instructors. ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell got to speak with Tom about these issues following a Monday conference call among the parties in the dispute.
Well, 'tis the season to talk about NAFI, I guess. There's been a lot of controversy about issues involving the National Association of Flight Instructors, and we're talking to Tom Poberesny of EAA to provide the other side of the formula here. Tom, fill us in.
Okay, Jim. Well, let's start kind of in the middle. And the fact is that it's not so much telling the other side. What I'm hoping to do is address what I'm going to call the middle side. You know, you've many times there's extreme views to one side or the other, the left, the right, the conservative and the liberal. I don't really represent any side. What I do is I feel on behalf of EAA and in support of NAFI, the organization, is representing a viewpoint that is addressing some important issues that have come up that have been addressed by the board and are of concern to a segment of the membership.
So it's Tom Poberesny, peacemaker.
Well, I'm not sure it's peacemaker. The fact is that, you know, at the NAFI board meeting in October, we addressed governance in terms of a governance structure with a redraft of bylaws and articles that reflect a change in governance style. And the other was program administration in terms of providing stability and continuity. And those are important issues that need to be worked through. I don't necessarily advocate one side or the other. What I advocate is results that promote a better NAFI, and I think we're working on that. But sometimes what makes it difficult is that extreme positions can be taken or people take one position or the other as opposed to just being a part of the process and coming to the middle ground. And what I can say, Jim, is we're making progress. You know, usually when you make progress, it's never as fast as some would like to see, in some cases faster than some want to see. And but I'm confident that we're going to get where we need to be over a period of time, but it's not years, it's months.
Understood. Since we've heard so much from the folks that seem to have a problem with NAFI's...
TBO NAFI?
Correct.
Yes.
Especially Rich and the gang and so forth, and we've had, matter of fact, sat in on the...
San Jose.
The AOPA meeting and all. If you can quantify EAA, or for that matter, NAFI Central's issues and the areas that you see as being the most either problematic or most remarkable, I'd appreciate it.
Well, you know, the two issues I addressed with the NAFI board and are central to this is governance in terms of the fact is that right now it's a self-electing board, and we're looking to expand that to allow directorship to be, a portion of the directors to be elected by the membership through an electoral process. And that would take a redraft of bylaws and articles. And the other is just addressing the programs to ensure that there's a continuity and stability as leadership changes. I strongly advocate volunteer participation, skill participation, with the headquarters being the central core to provide stability as programs pass from different leaders to different leaders, which happens over time for different reasons. And I think we have a focus. The members have been heard, of those who have strong opinions. In the chair I sit in, Jim, I've heard from people on all sides of the issue, or issues, and their input's valuable, and what helps to do is to come to what I think is a balanced solution that meets expectations of all parties. It takes communication, it takes listening, and then ultimately it takes results, and all that takes time. And again, when I say time, I'm not talking about years or 6 months and so forth, but it's not going to happen in days and weeks if you're going to do it right.
Oh, remember the old adage, no plan survives contact with reality.
Yes, and so what happens is right now we're in a phase, the fact is that the opinions have been expressed and we're working the process, and to a certain extent there has to be a certain level of patience. You know, some have expressed distrust for the process or whatever the case may be, and I can't unravel those feelings until we produce results. But people have to give the process enough time to produce results. If they don't like the results, then they can comment on those and address it going forward, but at least give us an opportunity to produce results before expressing additional criticism.
Well, as I understand, yesterday was kind of the 15th of December was kind of a big day in all this, at which point apparently a number of discussions were to be had.
Well, Jim, there's two parts to this process. One addresses governance, other is program administration. And when I address program administration, there's a committee of the board that has oversight responsibilities. And the purpose of that meeting was to meet with that committee, which is four board members, to discuss the current state, to get a better feel for what it is and where there's possible improvements. And so it really wasn't across me. It was part of the process. It was more of an education. The committee's going to forward information to me. We're going to evaluate it. And we all agreed that we want to look at it, continue to look at ways to improve. So I don't want to undervalue or overvalue. It was another step in the process. And as you know, Jim, having been in business and covering the aviation scene from an industry standpoint, from an association standpoint, when you're dealing with passion and skills and volunteers and personalities, if you want to get the job done, you have to be patient and listen to the different viewpoints and coalesce them together and work off of good communication, good information. It just takes time. I wish I could say it could be done quickly, but sometimes reacting too quickly gives you a product that you're not proud of, and you end up going backwards rather than forwards.
Well, there's the old adage about the difference between right and right now.
You're exactly correct. I think I was reading some of the earlier ANN news stories and referenced a letter that I sent out a few days ago. And basically, it is reinforcing the fact is that what I have found is that the vast, vast majority of people who have expressed themselves on, quote, all sides of these issues, and there's many sides to it, have the common thread of their passion about NAFI, their passion about flight instruction, and they just want to see a better organization and build on the good things that's done already. NAFI is an outstanding organization that's grown significantly over the last 10 years. And there's a point in time where after all the input's been received, there's got to be a little bit of a quiet period while the information is worked on and the process developed and the answers developed and then presented out. And your comment is right on target. There's the right way. How'd you say it again, Jim?
Yeah, the difference between getting it right and getting it right now.
Yeah. And what we're trying to do is balance between right and right now. And the fact is that now to me is the fact that I think within the next 45 to 60 days, we'll be able to look at the direction, say we've got the direction set, then look at implementation, et cetera, et cetera. But we need some quiet time. And what's happening is we're spending a lot of time and resources responding to words going back and forth. And while we're doing that, we're not creating value that people are looking for because our time isn't spent on creating value. It's created and responding to each other. A says something to B says something to A, and then A responds back to B, and it just keeps going back and forth.
Well, if I can pontificate on one thing for a moment here.
Sure.
As a CFI, or at least having been a CFI, I'm not currently current, it seems to me that there is an extraordinary role for the instructor cadre to play in aviation, especially as aviation sees so many challenges with new technologies and new capabilities in an increasingly antagonistic world as far as aviation is concerned.
Absolutely.
And yet there seems to be an opportunity here. I mean, with revolution comes change, but of course the big question is what kind of change occurs. But there seems to be an opportunity here to remake NAFI into something even more valuable and more important, even more publicly knowledgeable and more publicly, I'm searching for words here, that something that says basically that they can do more for the community.
Well, I think that, Jim, you hit a couple of key points. Is that number one, based in the economy, an aging pilot population, a number of factors that we could go on and list. The importance of the flight instructor community, the teachers of flight, becomes even more valuable as we move forward. Having said that, that enhances the importance of a stronger, even stronger NAFI. It's much better to build on success than failure. And what it is a matter that NAFI's had a level of success, and we're all in this to say we can even be more successful. And I can tell you, in all honesty, talking to board members, to members of NAFI, to flight instructors, to master CFIs, to the whole litany, almost to a person, everybody's saying the same thing. Now, there's different viewpoints on how to do that, but the fact of the matter is, Jim, having sat in the middle of the discussions, I can tell you in all honesty that we're not that far away from taking these divergent viewpoints and putting them into an answer that the vast majority can endorse, support, and will grow and build NAFI for the future.
Well, keep in mind, Tom, that if you ask any 10 aviators their opinions, you're going to get 12 different answers.
Well said. But so, I'm not pessimistic. I'm optimistic. You know, as you know, Jim, we've known each other for 25, 30 years. I've been in the aviation business for a long time, the association business. And so I've been down this path before on issues. And as painful as they are in terms of the dialogue and the debate and the fact that it never goes as fast as we like to see it, if it's done right, we're going to look back and say we did the right thing. And at the end of the day, that's what you want.
Well, a lot of good things can come as a result of people finally getting a chance to clear the air. And that obviously is taking place to some extent here.
We'll hear more of Jim Campbell's interview with EAA President Tom Poberesny in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. We're listening to Jim Campbell's interview with EAA President Tom Poberesny, who's been attempting to mediate a political schism within the National Association of Flight Instructors. The trigger for the formation of the protest group TBO-NAFI was a reported plan by some board members to oust directors Joanne and Sandy Hill, who have been overseeing NAFI's master CFI program.
Okay, let me put you on the hot seat here. There's two questions that come up with this. One of the focal points has been the involvement of the Master Instructor Program and specifically the Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see that particular scenario going? And then and the final question, and this is, I realize it's a totally unfair question.
That's why you're going to ask it, I suppose.
Well, it's my job. Sorry. if there was a quote-unquote perfect NAFI, a NAFI for 2010, 11, 12, whatever, what would it look like?
Well, I think the thing is, let me take the second question first in terms of a perfect NAFI. I'm not sure I could describe a perfect NAFI, but as it relates to the issues that have been presented here, and it's something I've said publicly, it's been in writing, it's been verbalized and so forth, is the fact is that it's time to open up the governance structure of the organization from the standpoint of electing a portion of the directors by the membership and have an evolution that takes place there. And I think in principle, most everybody's behind that and so forth. And I can't speak for every single person, but I think everybody's in agreement that it's time to update the governance structure. Let's put it that way. And so that's an important goal. Number two, as it relates to the NAFI programs, current programs, future programs, et cetera, I think that it's important for the health of the organization that the headquarters staff have a level of involvement that's appropriate. And appropriate is defined differently for each program, just like we do for EA, the chapter program, flight advisors, tech counselors, et cetera. There's headquarters access as a support mechanism. It's delivered in the field by the volunteers. And it's the same thing with Master CFI. That leads to the second or the first question you asked as far as the Hills. My discussion isn't whether the Hills are in the program or out of the program or what the role is. My discussion is what's the proper balance between headquarters support and volunteer leadership and participation, and that varies from program to program. That's what we're doing right now. And then the people who are capable, qualified, have the time. Qualified, capable, have the time, that's critical, should have the opportunity to lead and participate. So I'm not advocating a lack of participation. I think, Jim, from your knowledge of EAA, which you've been involved for a long time, you know that the success of our organization has been based on volunteer participation leadership, whether it's at Oshkosh or programs in the field, and headquarters that serves as a liaison and as a facilitator and provide continuity. And I see that same model working for NAFI.
Well, it's obvious that this hubbub has forced a number of people to either speak up in ways that at times seems antagonistic. Would you say at this point, though, that the candor or level of conversation at least has gotten a bit more civil?
I think that it's stabilized to a certain extent. I guess the key right now, what I would ask is that for all parties, you know, no matter where they are in the issue, is that if there's something that hasn't been communicated that they want to communicate, do so. But if it's repeating what's already been said, I think it's time to kind of just stand down for a little while and let the process continue. Because if you don't let the process continue, and we're going to be constantly going back and forth in rhetoric, we're never going to get the job done. We all have limited resources in terms of time and money to spend on these issues. And right now, I think the message has been heard loud and clear. Now let's spend the time to make the message to convert to a reality that everybody can support. And by everybody, it's all involved.
What's the what's the feeling that you're getting from EAA, or at least from the folks directly involved with NAFI from the EAA side about this whole situation? Is morale high, low? Or what is their feeling at this point about the progression at this point?
Well, I think the thing is that everybody involved, you know, no matter whether it's a board member, non-board member, et cetera, there's a sense of frustration because to some, they're confused about the issue. To some, they don't know who to believe. To some, it's not moving fast enough. I mean, there's different positions. I'm sure you've heard a similar response, Jim. I think the key here right now is not so much a morale issue. The fact is that those of us who are in the trenches, the board of directors, headquarters staff, actively involved members, this is a double euphemism, pessimistically optimistic, or optimistically pessimistic.
No, that's actually a marvelous one for this situation.
And the fact is that I think everybody feels if we could just focus on the issues for a reasonable period of time, I think we can get through them. But right now we haven't been able to focus because we keep diverting ourselves with additional comments. And the fact is that, you know, for example, if somebody could call me every week for the next 3 weeks and say, give me an update as to the progress. Well, the problem is progress is measured not in terms of days and weeks, but in terms of a period of time, 30, 45 days. And what happens is you almost feel, if you don't give progress on an annual, on a daily basis, that people feel nothing's being done. It's furthest from the truth. But what happens is this is the type of process that you don't see progress on a daily basis. You see it in a little bit wider band of time. And right now, we just need, for lack of better words, some quiet time. And I got to be honest with you. Just because it's quiet doesn't mean it's going to go away. I realize that we have to produce results, but what happens is if we don't have a lot of the time to produce the results, then we're kind of in a catch-22.
Interesting. Let me hit you with one more extra final question here.
Absolutely, Jim.
The FAA has been one of the biggest boosters of the Master Instructor Program in some ways. They've given it much of the proper attention it really deserves. Any information at this point from the FAA on their feeling on what's going on right now?
You know, there's individual comments that I think are more from individuals than from FAA, you know, representing FAA. I think the key here, Jim, is that this is not anything derogative about the master program. It's really addressing programs in the master CFI program, obviously the crown jewel, is to ensure, since this has all come up, is to do a retroactive look to say, have we provided the continuity and stability? There's a couple things that can happen out of this. It can go all the way to the extreme of major changes to no change. And I say that as the two extremes, and chances are we're going to be somewhere in the middle, or, you know, there's the adage, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I think that that's where we start from. But right now it's just a matter of a learning curve to say, what are we doing? What are we doing well? What can we do better? But I want to reinforce the fact is that the success of all the programs of NAFI, of EAA, and all of our divisions and affiliates have been based upon a partnership between operational support at appropriate levels from headquarters, stability and continuity, and leadership and implementation by skilled and dedicated volunteers in the field. And that formula is key to our success and will not change.
Outstanding. Tom, we sure appreciate your time, especially just before the holidays, and we wish you and the EAA, as well as the NAFI cadre, the best of happy holidays and a happy new year.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and your team, Jim, and I appreciate the sharp questions, the candid questions, and the ongoing communication. And I'm optimistic that we'll, at the end of the day, not quite the end of the day, but the end of this period of time, come up with answers and solutions that will be beneficial to all involved.
Well, obviously, that's in everybody's best interest, and that's what we hope for everybody. Tom, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
This story isn't finished yet. TBO NAFI's website promised a joint statement by the various parties following Monday's teleconference, but as of early Thursday morning, it had yet to be issued. Aero News will watch this story as it continues to develop into 2009. You can read more about the issues which drew the protest at www.tbonafi.info. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.